Hey, you don't have to buy those expensive airline tickets to experience the world. You can come right here on Sunday morning. We're multicultural, multi-ethnic. And this is a foretaste of what heaven would be like. God created all cultures, all ethnicities from one man. Now go figure that. But that is the supernatural God that we serve. That is the supernatural God that we had come this morning to experience. And I want to welcome you and want to thank you for really being part of that celebration. Because this morning, we have foretasted what eternal life would look like. And so I appreciated Pastor Laney letting us know where we're all from. And I was wondering, where is he going with that? He's going towards eternal purposes in heaven. And so welcome among our multicultural expressions. Feel right at home because we are foreigners too. I don't know about maybe any native Indians that we have, but they're the only ones that can claim this land. The rest of us are all foreigners. So I feel very well in America. I really feel at home. Since all of you are foreigners just like I. Came few boats prior to me. Okay? So, this morning, I'm excited what the Lord has put on my heart to share with you. I have been pondering on that for a couple of weeks and was waiting for the right time. And I believe the Lord is anointing this word to challenge us anew this morning. And I'd like for all of us to turn to Matthew chapter 28, and I will be reading from verses 1 through 7, and then we will go to 16 through 20. So I would encourage all of you that have any form of a Bible, a hard copy of it, soft copy on your iPhones, smartphones, iPods, especially those young men sitting on the front pew, just open your Bibles on the iPods. I know they're in your pockets. And follow with me. So Matthew chapter 28, 1 to 7 and 16 through 20. And no, it is not Easter, okay, but we will be reading an Easter passage. After the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake. For an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he has said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. And now I have told you.'" And let's go to verses 16 and through 20. "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, and some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said these words, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age.'" Interesting passage that has been looked upon from all different angles. What I'm going to do today is present one more into your basket of those sermons that you like going over. We will be talking about meeting God at his present activity. Meeting God at his present activity. I was reading this passage a couple of weeks ago, as I told you. And few things arrested my attention. You know, when you're reading the Bible and you think that you've seen all that maybe could have been seen in that one passage, and we hear it so often. Every Easter, that passage is preached to great extent, looked at it from different angles. And as I was reading this a couple of weeks ago, the Lord took me on a journey that I haven't been before with this passage. It jumped at me that Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, and in some other accounts of the gospel, you know, there is maybe one or two more women there, went to the tomb to look for Jesus Christ who was crucified. Well, the crucified Jesus is logically to be found in the tomb, wouldn't you think? Just about 3 days ago, they saw the crucified Jesus being laid in that tomb. So the crucified Jesus should have been in the tomb. The women knew of Jesus' last activity that they have experienced together with him. Jesus was dying on the cross, being crucified, and for sure they knew that this is the tomb they have laid him in. So they went to meet Jesus at his previous activity, unaware that at his present activity, Jesus wasn't in the tomb anymore. The angel that met them at the tomb looked at the women and said, "Now, don't be afraid. I know these soldiers, the brave ones that actually were put here to make sure the body of Jesus Christ is not stolen." Remember that story? Okay? They were put there just in case somebody would want to steal the body of Jesus Christ and then spread the rumor that he has risen. All right? Those real brave Roman soldiers were on the outside of the tomb with a stone rolled in front of it, guarding it, and there is an angel, an angelic encounter, and they totally were scared by that experience, fell as dead. The women, though, remained with open eyes, trying to perceive what the angel is going to tell them. And the angel looked at them and said, "Don't be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus, but you're looking for Jesus the crucified. And I have news for you. He is not Jesus the crucified anymore. He is Jesus the risen Savior and Lord of this world. Jesus is no more in the activity of dying. This is already a finished work." Jesus now engaged a different activity, a different venue. And this is being resurrected, sending life across all mankind. And this is his present activity. And for that reason, come and see the tomb. The stone is rolled away, and you have clear visibility to see, is he in there? He's not in the tomb, because in the tomb, his dead body, his crucified dead body that was given up for your redemption so you don't die the same way that he had to die for you. His dead body was laid here, but that was a finished previous activity. He's no more engaged in that activity. He has now started a new work. And that new work is making disciples of all nations. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary and the women that were there, would you please join the new activity, the present activity of Jesus Christ? Or if you linger at his old activity, you're not going to find him. So that's what I'm going to talk about this morning. In order for us to find Jesus, to meet the God of the universe. We have to encounter him at his present work, at his present activity. The women wanted to find Jesus, and they were looking for the right person, but they were at the wrong place, and they didn't find Jesus. So this morning, as we're going to look into the text in detail, I want us all to be challenged by the thought, if I am looking seriously to engage in partnership with Jesus Christ, the Savior and the Lord of this universe, where am I looking for that Jesus? Because you may be looking for Jesus at his previous activity, and I have news for you. You may be looking for the right person, but if you're at the wrong place, you will not find him there. For Jesus Christ, as he finished his redemption work on the cross, he said and declared it finished, and he engaged the Father's heart. That now, from this day on, I have to move forward to reaching everyone, whosoever may like to hear the gospel message, is welcome to come to the risen Christ who gives life, who's the life of the universe. The risen Christ can never be confined to a previous activity. The risen Christ is always working. Jesus Christ said of his Father in heaven, he is working. He's continuously doing a new thing. And the new thing of the Creator of life is to give more life and to engage you into launching you to give more life on his behalf. So if this morning, if you and I are serious about finding Jesus, then it's not enough to just look for the person of Jesus Christ. But we need to look for the person of Jesus Christ at the right place. And I have to engage the Creator of the universe at his present activity of what he's doing. We're going to look step by step into 3 points I want to bring to us. I don't want you to be lost in the maybe in the tickling of the ear of something, oh, it comes interesting to me. This is a very deep, deep message that the Lord has been working in me for 2 weeks. Has really reinforcing something that is a passion of mine. I would say this is my life's passion. But he was just coming with a new force, bringing this confirmation that if we are not after the discipleship commission, then we are truly not engaging in partnership. We are not finding Christ. Follow with me the 3 steps that I want to present. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, I'll follow the account as Matthew describes it in his gospel. They woke up early in the morning on Sunday morning. That was the first day. That's how they counted the weeks, the week first day. They got up on Sunday morning, and if you look in Mark, for example, in that account, Mark tells you that they brought spices and oil to anoint the dead body. They woke up early on Sunday morning with grief in their hearts, with compassion towards the person of Jesus Christ. They loved Jesus beyond any description to a point that they were the only bold souls that grabbed some spices and oil and were going to anoint the body of Jesus Christ, even in the face of ridicule, in the face of persecution. Nobody else really had any guts to go out there and say, something in support of Jesus Christ. And now this bunch of women, again, we have talked a lot about outcasts of society and where the strata of society was, but really women were not highly regarded at that time. But this brave bunch of women cared so much about Jesus Christ. Their hearts were so compassionate towards him that they wanted to have one more private encounter with him. Be it in the tomb and be it as crucified Jesus Christ. But they wanted one more encounter with Jesus. I'm going through the emotional cycle of what they went through because I think we can recognize a lot of times where you and I stand. Because we long for those intimate encounters with Jesus Christ. And nothing wrong in that. Actually, it is extremely encouraging that we long for intimate encounters with Jesus Christ. For private encounters with Jesus. But I'm taking you somewhere. Their deep desire to encounter Christ, their deep desire to find Jesus, the crucified one, didn't pay off. They went to the tomb, and on their way there to the tomb, if you're reading in Mark, Mark says, and they were talking about and saying, who's going to roll the stone away from the tomb, because we're going, we want to do all of that for Jesus, to bless Jesus. Don't we say many times we just want to bless Jesus? I just want to do that for Jesus' sake. I want to bless Jesus. So they wanted to bless Jesus, and they didn't know how they're going to accomplish that, but they really, their heart was in the right place. They had a good, compassionate heart. They wanted to encounter Jesus, and they wanted to do something for Jesus. I want you to look in this text. It says, the first verse says that Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. They initiated a step towards Jesus. Went to look for Jesus. Look at verse 2. The immediate response that heaven had towards their action was what? There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and he rolled the stone away for them. God the Father waits for us to make the first step to intentionally want to encounter him. And his word says that as we come close to him, he come close to us. As they have intentionally directed their walk towards the tomb where they thought they will encounter Jesus Christ, God the Father sends his representative to them, an angel, who comes from heaven to bring clarity to this one point. And I believe that this encounter is extremely important, just as in first century Christianity, that much more it's important in 21st century postmodern American society to understand the truth of what this angel will unveil. The angel comes in response to their good heart's intention to find Christ, but they, in their quest to find Christ, they were looking for Christ in the wrong place. Because their understanding of who Jesus Christ was limited. All they understood about Jesus Christ was a dead, crucified human being who had lots of promises to make, and they had lots of hopes for him that he would become a human king reigning over Israel, okay, in literal kingdom. That's what they understood about the Messiah that he was going to be. So now all of their hopes are crushed, and they presumed that as he died on the cross, he would continue to linger. His body would be right there in the tomb, and they're going to encounter Jesus there. Now, I believe the significance for us to recognize now is this. A lot of us come with preconceived ideas of who Jesus Christ is. Some believe that Jesus Christ is an excellent historical figure, probably the best leader in the world. Because when you look at his leadership style, he's the first leader ever that brought the servanthood to the forefront of leadership. Now, I'll tell you this. Right now, servanthood in Christian and in secular literature is a buzzword. You know, finally, even the secular world caught up with Jesus' leadership that he portrayed in first century Christianity. So some just go to the extent of understanding that Jesus Christ is a great leader, one of probably the most avant-garde leader in whole history. Now, some others stretch a little bit further. They would give him this. He was a spiritual leader as well as a revolutionary in the society. He fought for emancipation, because really, look at his entourage. They were all a whole bunch of women who didn't have any place in the society, and now all of a sudden he's saying it is okay to associate with women. It's okay to hear their testimony. By the way, their testimony wasn't approved or allowed in court. It wasn't taken as truth. So Jesus Christ, some would say, is a revolutionary that brought civil rights back to where they need to be, or taken them for the first time where they need to be. Some would say he's an excellent spiritual guru. You know, he just really goes in there, deals with issues of the soul, and he knows the soul in such a way that he makes it all clear, revolutionizes my understanding. I can find my place of peace. The shalom he's talking about, I'm getting it. Because I'm all about my soul feeling good about things. And so some get Jesus on that aspect and drop him there. Because that's as much as their understanding goes. That's perfectly fine. That is perfectly fine. What God the Father did is Mary Magdalene and the other Mary began to make their journey towards Jesus Christ, the crucified. Their understanding didn't stretch to the resurrected yet. But as they began to make the journey towards Jesus, the person, even though they didn't have a clear understanding of who Jesus the person was, God the Father, makes a move on their behalf and sends an angel to remove the stone that was obscuring the spiritual reality, which we call supernatural event. Really, for the Lord, everything is natural. You know, those are the activities he chooses to engage. To us, from a natural perspective, we would say a body that was dead and now is resurrected, that is a supernatural event. So however you want to describe the supernatural or the natural for God event, the body of Jesus Christ was no more in the tomb. And those women needed to get the clarity that Jesus Christ wasn't anymore in his previous activity, but he has moved on. And if they wanted to find Jesus, the person that they were looking for, then they had to go and join him. Where did the angel say? He's already ahead of you in Galilee. Go join with him. Go join in the activity that he's presently engaged. You cannot be looking for Jesus where he is not. Jesus doesn't linger in something that he has finished. He does a work, and he does it. When he finishes a work, it's finished. He has completely finished the work, and then he moves on to engage the next step. He came to die, so as he is resurrected for you and me, he died for you and me. He got resurrected on yours and mine behalf. So as he died to sin, he may free us from the bondage of sin. And as he was resurrected, then he can free us to live eternal life starting from now on. We do not have to wait to get to heaven to enter eternal life. For eternal life is to know God and to know him experientially. To know him, and as we know him, then we enter eternal life. But as Jesus Christ came to afford eternal life to all humanity, he engaged you and I in his present activity as ambassadors of eternal life. So the angel came to remove the big stone that was rolled in front of the tomb and was keeping the women's understanding from the reality of God's activity. I'm going to camp just a minute here. The women were going to the tomb out of the goodness of their hearts. We already established that. Out of compassion for Christ, we already established that. But really, they were driven towards that activity on that first day of the week because that was their tradition. When you have a dead body that has been laid in a tomb, you have to embalm. You know, you have to put those spices and oils and anoint that body. That was their tradition that they wanted to adhere to. And nothing wrong in traditions. But this tradition, in this particular instance, wasn't serving the Lord. They thought it's going to serve the Lord. They were going to do that to Jesus Christ because they only have seen part of what Jesus has done, but they couldn't even fathom that Jesus constantly moves in his activities, and they were not going to find him at that previous activity, but that they have to go into his future activity. So the tradition that guided them in finding, in going to that place to find Jesus Christ, really did not serve them. And I want to challenge a lot of us on this aspect. As we hold on to a lot of traditions, because we've done them so many times, and we actually have encountered Jesus sometimes in those activities the tradition has informed us about, we think that today, as we walk into that tradition again, if we do this out of tradition, then we will encounter Jesus Christ again. I'm going to challenge some of us because I'm talking out of my heart and what the Lord has been challenging me as I was preparing this message. You can be actually teaching in a Sunday school class or any class that you teach for Christ out of tradition, and not necessarily encountering the present move of God. Do you agree with me? I see a lot of heads just going this way. I could be sitting behind this pulpit and speaking a word of God. And I know the word says the word of God doesn't come void. It means that somebody would hear and it's going to have a seed and see it. But I'm not talking about the word that's going to be delivered. But I'm talking about my heart. If my heart is not right, if I don't seek the Lord for his present activity, if I bring you something that is stale, and I haven't sought the Lord to bring to you a word that is in his present in the now. The word that his bride, you, the church, needs to hear now. That I'm preaching out of tradition. And I haven't really done a benefit to you or to serve my King by bringing you the relevant word today. Out of tradition, we can be right here leading people into the presence of God through worship. And if I'm the leader, haven't sought the presence of God to know in the now what this congregation would need. Because in the now, the Lord speaks to you. And today, His work is new. Today, He needs to speak to people through the songs that we would sing, through the words that we would say. Hearts are going to be prepared. And in the now, we have to join with the present activity of Jesus, or we're going to miss Him. I was challenged by this word because the Lord preached that to me in the private of my home before I brought it to us. And I know that this portion isn't a very ameny portion. But I believe we have to look with all seriousness at the activities that we do. And if we desire to truly be ambassadors for Christ, those that on behalf of the life giver, give life to others that are in desperation and have nobody else to spread hope, then we better sense where the Holy Spirit is leading us so we can be in step with the Spirit. Galatians 5:25 says, if we live in the Spirit, then you know what? You better walk with the Spirit. You cannot just claim that you live with the Spirit if you do not move alongside with the Spirit. If you're way behind the Holy Spirit. That's why, seriously, you're all encouraged. For those of us that haven't taken the class how to hear God's voice, we all need to engage in that. We all need to understand how to listen very carefully to the word of the Lord in the now. Because this word, as I read it, Easter passage, that so many times I hear sermons on that, this word became the now. As the Lord began to show me that if we're looking for Jesus at His previous activity that He finished and He closed, we will not find Him at this place. We need to actively begin to move towards encounter with Him so He can instruct us in His present activity and where He's moving at this time. We can only find God at His present activity. Just because you found Him yesterday by the entrance of the tomb doesn't mean today He's going to be there. Because whatever He was working yesterday, that may be a finished work. And He's waiting on you and I to partner with Him. For He works with you and I. It's a heresy to say, oh, if the Lord wants it, then He's just going to get it done. He does want it, and He gets it done through human beings whose lives are changed out of their own volition. They come to Him. He hasn't created any robots. He's not going to push Himself on anybody. He's a gentle God. He's a gentleman that walks on this planet. He's, by the way, tangibly, physically present in our midst. Just because we do not see Him with this physical eyes, that doesn't make Him any less real. If you can only see the angelic host that is around us, and by host I mean a whole bunch of angels that have been dispatched on our behalf to come and roll over the stones from your past, the stones from our traditions, the stones from our past experiences that are actually blocking the barricades for us to be able to see what is the present activity of the Lord in our lives today. God needed to send an angel from heaven to push the stone away. And I want to tell you, when the angel came, if you look at the text, 28 verse 2, it says, a violent, violent earthquake happened. The stones that barricade our understanding of where Christ is now sometimes need violent earthquakes to shake them so they can be removed. I'm talking real stuff right now. I'm talking to us. This is a message to us, our Father's house, sent to us in October of 2011. We cannot hang on to traditions. We cannot hang on to past glorious experiences. This all have been great and fantastic, and God was in that activity then. But He has a new thing for us to do today. And today is His present activity, and we have to engage with His present activity. The angel said to the women, come and see. This tomb is empty. He's not there anymore. But let me tell you, I'm not going to leave you hanging around and crying your eyes out that now somebody stole this Jesus that you came to see. You know, He's not here, but I will let you know where you can find Him. He went to Galilee, and He's out there before you even get there. And I'm telling you, you need to go there and also tell all of those that care about Him. Go find his disciples, your brothers. Go find those and go to Galilee. He's going to be there and He will meet you there. So the women went to Galilee, brought all the disciples with them. And Jesus disclosed what His present activity from that point on was going to be about. Let's read it one more time together. It is Matthew 28. Verses 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. So they were at least obedient. You know, they moved from where they thought they're going to find Jesus. And they went to meet Jesus where they expected now, according to the angelic witness. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore means because of that. Therefore, because of that, because I have authority in heaven and on earth, that authority I give to you, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, surely, I'm with you always to the very end of the age. And Mark puts it this way, and surely as I'm with you always, I am working together with you. Mark explains, and He worked together with them, confirming the disciples' message about Jesus being resurrected and making disciples. He confirmed their message with signs and wonders. God confirms His message when you speak on behalf of His new activity. Many times we look at each other and we say, I wonder why we don't have those signs and wonders. We just, you know, the first church, you know, they just were able to heal people left and right. And there were many signs and wonders what has happened with the church. Unfortunately, the church had gotten itself in a lot of tradition, in a lot of past activities that were good activities, but they got entrenched into those activities. And the church had forgotten to move away because nobody had rolled a stone yet. But I'm telling you,
there is a voice crying out from among many of the bride of the Church of Christ that says, what we are experiencing, we know it is not the present activity of God. And people are yearning. There is a desire to see the activity of God engage the humanity again on the level that was present with Jesus Christ as he walked in human form this earth. And angels have been dispatched on our behalf as we are crying out to the Lord and saying, we want more, God. We want to see you truly work among dying humanity. We truly desire to see the people that have no hope, that don't know where to turn, that are desperate, that are crying out. We desire to see lives changed. God, help us. And as we cry out, God comes, sends an angel to roll away the barricades, the blocks, the stones that have obscured our vision for quite a while, that we didn't see where the present activity of God was. But now, as the stone has been rolled away, we need to be reawakened to the fact that his present activity is into making disciples, into new ways, into relevant ways of making disciples of all mankind, of all of those that are desperate, hungry. I'm not just talking about desperate and hungry in physical sense, but all of those that are crying out from the depth of their hearts because something is amiss there. Something is amiss. And if you and I don't walk in step with the Spirit, we will miss the opportunity of telling those people about God and making disciples on his behalf. On behalf of the life giver, we can give life if we have joined in the activity of the Holy Spirit. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary only desired a private, tearful encounter with the crucified Jesus. Instead of a private, tearful encounter, Jesus met them and he gave them a different commission. He said, you've already met me privately. Now it's time for you to engage me publicly with the world. Go and make disciples. For my present activity now is all in discipleship making. It's all about giving life to those that need life. Michael, would you please come to the... As we are getting ready to finish this word of the Lord today to us, I want to invite you, in all seriousness, to engage the Holy Spirit. Because it's still general for me to say, the present activity of God is in discipleship making. It's here. It's in Matthew chapter 28. You know, it says so. Jesus says, all power and authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth, and I'm transferring this power and authority to you, and I'm making you disciple makers, meaning I'm giving you the right to give life on my behalf. Go do that. It's still very general. It's still very general. I want to challenge all of us today before the Lord to ask him, what is the activity of God in your life? How does the Lord wants you to be a disciple maker? How you will partner with God to make disciples on his behalf? Because God has put unique destinies on everyone's heart and has called all of us. And what you can do, I cannot do. Your sphere of influence is so different from my sphere of influence that if you sometimes invite me, I may enter, but I still probably will not come with the same influence as you would have in that sphere that you've been around for a while. So we all carry the same call from that Jesus Christ to be disciple makers, but we all have a unique deployment into that mission. And I want all of us to be challenged with finding out, what is my unique deployment, God? What do you want me to do on your behalf? Where are you walking the earth these days that I may be joining in partnership with you and I may stay in step with your Holy Spirit as I have the Holy Spirit in my heart? And I know that I'm talking right now with this particular challenge to people that have already experienced Jesus on a level of not just a crucified God, but as God that is resurrected, has life and gives life. I know that we may have some among us that are not quite sure about that Jesus. They have made a step in the right direction. You know, they are obviously here right now, hearing me, either because they're in this room or because they would be listening our podcast later on. But they may not yet have found Jesus Christ as a personal Savior and Lord of their lives. And I want to give those of you that may be sitting in this room or hearing my voice an opportunity to respond to Jesus Christ, the giver of life. Because Jesus Christ, the giver of life, was given all authority in heaven and on earth, he has transferred that authority willingly, as I just read, to all of those that represent him. And on his behalf, I want to invite you to enter his kingdom, his reality, his supernatural existence, for it is available to you today. You don't have to wait. You don't have to get better. He accepts you as you are right now. He's not going to leave you standing as you are. He's going to stretch you and shape you and mold you into the unique, beautiful person that he has created you to be. But at this point, you can come to him as you are, with everything that you carry in your heart and on yourself. And he is right here with open arms to accept you as one of his children. And as you encounter him, you will not just encounter him as a rabbi, as a teacher, as a prolific leader, as a revolutionary, but you will encounter Jesus Christ as a personal Savior and as the Lord of your life. And on his behalf, as you are changed, you can change life from now on. For he will give you that same authority. The life giver has given you the authority to give life to those that are crying in desperation and hopelessness. Maybe all raise and pray for a couple of minutes in silence and inquire of the Lord for his activity in our lives. If you don't know Christ, I want to invite you at the end of the service, you can come and talk to me. If you want to respond in any public form, you're welcome to come to the altar. But that doesn't make you saved or unsaved. It's a decision you're going to make in your heart, but I definitely would love to talk to you after the service is closed. For those of us that would decide to join Jesus Christ in his activity for us, may we just make a commitment. I would like for all of us to take a minute to commit to him afresh and anew, to the present activity that he is leading you to engage. Father, we thank you that you're giving us clarity on what you would like for us to partner with you. And we thank you for your angelic forces that work in our lives so we can be free of any bondages that are impairing our visual sight. Father, we just thank you. We thank you that your presence is challenging and it's so real. We thank you, Father, that you work today just as much as you have worked when Jesus Christ walked this earth. And you desire to work together with us. May this day be blessed, and we commit our lives to you and to listen to the instruction of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. And now we invite you all to join us to the picnic outside. Mingle a little bit, get to know.